John, we're in chapter 5, and we're going to look at things that we're supposed to know. John uses the word know 5 times in this text. So he tells us, you know, we know this, we know this, we know this. So there are things that we should remember. And John, like Peter does this in his epistle, he says, I'm reminding you of things you know. And John does that. And the reason we need to do that is so that, you know, when the world challenges us and it tries to tell us something different, that we understand that we don't listen to that. We listen to what God has said. We listen to his word, and we want to get it implanted in our hearts and in our minds so we don't get confused, we don't get distracted, and we keep our feet where they're supposed to be, walking with God, right? So he actually says it 6 times in chapter 5, but 5 in our text that we're going to look at, starting at verse 13. So the question is, what do you know? What do you know, all right? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. We talked about this last time, but and John has made a point of this, that believing in who Jesus is and getting, I can't repeat this often enough. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means that when Jesus came and lived perfectly and he went to the cross and he died, that meant something. His death has power to create forgiveness for my sins. His death has power to give me life. And his resurrection means that I too can rise from the dead. So when I say we believe in Jesus Christ, we're talking about not just saying, oh, I believe in casually not understanding. We're talking about we believe in his mission. We believe that he accomplished his mission. We believe that he beat the devil, that he basically destroyed the work of the devil, as John has said here, and that work and that power of Jesus Christ is in our life now and will lead us into eternal life. So everyone who has Jesus has eternal life. Those two things are connected together in the gospel many, many different times. And this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So this is the second time that he has associated faith in Jesus Christ and prayer. And the idea that when we pray, we know the Lord hears us. That is a confidence. I hope you have that kind of confidence. Whenever you stop and maybe you have a problem in your life, or maybe there's just something you're concerned about, you start thinking too far about the future or something like that, but you bring it to the Lord in prayer. You close off the world and you set your heart on God and you begin to talk to the Lord, right? And you ask God, do you believe that God hears you? If you do, then that's showing you right there in this text. He says, our confidence is this, that when we go to our Father, when we pray to God, he hears us. He hears us and he cares about us. He says, we can ask anything according to his will and he hears us. Now, some people don't know what that means, do they? Praying according to God's will. Praying for things. Look at what the Lord asks us to pray for. Look at the Lord's Prayer, right? We want to acknowledge our Heavenly Father. We want to pray that his kingdom comes. We want to pray that his kingdom comes and that we will be with him. We want to pray for our own forgiveness and for our grace toward others, right? We want to pray that God would keep us away from temptation, from following the things of the world. And we want to pray that God keeps us safe from the evil or the evil one in the world. Those are just things that Jesus taught us to pray. Paul says, I want you to understand, I pray that you understand the gospel. I pray that you would have the knowledge of God in your heart. He also prays that God would strengthen us in our inner being. So those kinds of prayers, we know they're right out of Scripture. I read part of one today when we started off, the idea of Psalm 119, and how often that psalm cries out to the Lord, I want to know your word, I want your law, I want your commandments in my heart. Those things we know are according to God's will. Some other things might be up for grabs, right? I don't know how many of you have ever prayed something that later you said, uh-oh. I remember one time specifically, I thought my time here was done. I thought I was supposed to go to greener pastures and a more important place, right? And I was out and I was praying to the Lord. I say, Lord, God, you know, I've done my thing. It's time for me. And I never felt so dead in my soul as I did when I prayed that prayer. And I knew God was not interested in it. It wasn't according to his will, right? But then later that day, because God had a man talk to me and opened my heart, opened my mind, and I started praying in accord with his will, and it was like 2 days of very powerful prayer, and God set my feet where I'm supposed to be, and I haven't left, right? Yeah. But the idea is that, you know, when we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked him for. That is, you know, so you know, I pray about, I want to know God better. I want to understand you better. God will give that to you. Pray about grace for others. I want to be able to forgive people. I want to be able to love people the way I'm supposed to. God hears those prayers, right? And all those things. So that's really good. What's very interesting here is where he goes next. And I kept it separate, so to kind of keep it hidden a bit. He said, we know that he hears us, whatever he asks. We know that we have what we've asked for. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. Isn't that interesting? How many of us think of that? That my prayer life is about when I see somebody mess up, what do? Hey. Did you see what so-and-so did over there? Oh, my goodness. You know, you start gossiping or chattering about it. No, we don't do that. That's of the flesh. That's not helpful. That divides the body. It destroys the church. You don't do that, you know. When we see someone that sins and it's not something that leads to death, right, we pray, God, forgive them. We pray, God Almighty, forgive them, help them, restore my brother, restore my sister, bring them back to strength, bring them back to the place where they need to be with you. Isn't that a great prayer? Isn't that a better way of dealing with things when we see bad things happening? We see people mess up. My wife sees me mess up. I know she needs to pray for me all the time like that, right? And that's it's a matter of human relationship. When you have relationships with people, people mess up. People, and sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not intentional, but people mess up. What John is asking us to do as God's people, and when we're talking about knowing that God hears us and knowing that God answers us, is to make sure we pray for their forgiveness. Pray that God will establish grace to them and help them do better. That's it. That's what, yeah, I just thought that was so cool. That associate that with our prayer life. That we seek not only forgiveness for ourselves, but for others. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? But here he says, you know, and he says, I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying you should pray about that. Now that Jesus seems to have made that clear, that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. I was explaining it in Sunday school. The idea is, look, God the Father, how many of you have seen him? Just checking. Okay, yeah, because it says nobody can see him. Nobody can actually behold. Until we get glorified, until we're in the absolute kingdom of heaven, we don't get to see the Father. How many of you have sat down with Jesus? You know, only in the Spirit. Only in the Spirit, but you don't know. And so Jesus said, you can say something bad about God. You can say something bad about me, Jesus, right? And then he said, but now, how many of you have known the power of the Holy Spirit? You better get your hands up. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is intimate. The Holy Spirit, it gets into our hearts and it speaks to us and it tells us the truth of God. And he warns, he says, listen, you be careful with that because that's God touching you. That's God speaking to you. That's God living in you. And you don't mess with that. So when he says there's a sin that leads to death, that's the sin. And so when you see something that's an act of the Holy Spirit or an act or a work of God, you say, you be careful. Don't start talking bad, you know. No, that's God, and we love God, and when we experience God, how many I enjoyed today. I really thank God for our musicians and our singers and just the praise and the sense of God's presence. I love that. And I would never say anything bad about that, would you? No, no. So he says, all wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. You know, one of the things that as you get older, especially, and you start thinking back about, you know, I think about my pre-Christian life and things I did, and you know, I get really sad about it. I wish that, you know, I wasn't like that. And then I think of things that have happened since I've been a Christian, and you start to think, you know, Lord, are you covering all this? Are you, you know, saving me from all that? And whenever we sing like there's a fountain of blood or you know, something about the power of Jesus and his power to heal our lives and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to spread forgiveness and grace, I say, yes, Lord, you are. You're forgiving all of that. You're lifting me up. You're cleansing me, and you're making me ready for the courts of heaven. It's so glorious, the cross and the power of Christ. So he's saying to us, listen, when we see sin, don't kill each other with it. Pray for it. Ask God for grace and help us to stand. Help us to stand, Almighty God. So these are things we know. We know we're supposed to be able to talk to God and we're supposed to be able to ask for forgiveness. There's three other things. I couldn't fit all this text, so I'm going to do these one at a time. But here, we know that we're born of God. We know that we're born of God and we don't live in sin. We know that we are children of God and the world isn't welcoming to children of God. And we know that the Son of God has come and gives us a whole different way of looking at the world. So those are three more things that we should know that we know. He says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. What's he saying? He's saying that those of us who walk with God, live with God, have Jesus Christ in our life, it says that we don't continue in sin, meaning we don't make sin our lifestyle. You know, we're not reefer addicts. You know, we're not drug addicts. We're not cursing and swearing. We're not watching dirty stuff on internet, TV, that kind of stuff. We don't do that. That's not where we live. We don't continue in the old lifestyle that was leading us to destruction. We're new in Christ. We have a different set of attitudes and heart. And he says, the one born of God, meaning Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ keeps us safe. Jesus Christ keeps us safe. I've prayed to Jesus many times this week. And I know that I need to pray to Jesus constantly. Why? Because he's the only thing in this world that keeps me safe. He's the only thing that helps me to be able to stand up day after day and maintain a relationship with God and to be right with God. And the evil one, the devil, is shut up by Jesus. You know, the end of Romans 8 where he says, you know, what can separate us from the love of God? Not height nor depth, future or past. Not demons or angels. There's nothing in all the universe, spiritual or unspiritual, that can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. He asked the question there. He says, what if the devil accuses you? Is he going to stand up and when God's speaking for you, will his word mean anything? When Jesus Christ speaks for you, will his word mean anything? And the answer is absolutely not. When God speaks, when Jesus speaks, it's over. The enemy has no power over us. Jesus told the guys, he says, you know, when I have you in my hand, nobody can take you out. So John wants us to be confident. He wants us to be confident in our prayer, and he wants us to be confident in our ability to walk with God in a new life, in a newness of life, because we are born of God, the children of God. We also, though, know, he says, we know we are the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I know this. I used to around Christmas time, I always look on TV, try to find something that would make me feel Christmassy. And it doesn't. Because they don't know what Christmas is. They don't know what we think about Jesus Christ. They can't tell us how to worship, how to think. They can't help us do that. They don't know him. The whole world is run by the evil one. And we can't go out there for our answers. And we know that when we try to tell them the truth, there's going to be antagonism. They're not going to want us. They're not going to want our point of view. They're not going to want to hear our value system. They'll tell us we're being judgmental. They'll tell us that we're too narrow-minded. They'll tell us that we're bigots because we believe that Jesus is the only way to know God. They'll tell us all kinds of things because it's run by the evil one. We have to know that, folks. We have to understand that our faith and our walk with God cannot be explained by the world, encouraged by the world, or helped by the world, but it's quite the opposite. They will try to change it. They'll try to take it away from us. They'll try to antagonize us. In Christ, that's why, you know, remember he said, love one another. We talked about that. You know, the first part of John 4, or second part of John 4, 1 John 4. So we've got to love each other. Why? Because out there, there's trouble. Out there, there's antagonism. In here, we need to build one another up, support one another, pray for one another, help one another. So we know the world is antagonistic. And this is the other thing, and this kind of builds on what we just said. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Where does your worldview come from? You know what I mean, worldview? How you look at things. My kids, when I was, you know, when they were around and I would be watching TV, I would talk back to the TV. I would argue with them. That's not right. No, you got that all wrong. How can you say something so silly? And it's because I'm sitting there with the understanding of God, listening to prattle that has no understanding of God. We have an understanding. We have a worldview that comes from heaven. We have a worldview that comes from God. And they can't get it, but we get it. We understand each other. We understand the challenge. We understand the wisdom. We understand the grace and the power of who Jesus is and what he's done and what God has done for us through him. He's given us that understanding so that we may know him who is true. Our worldview leads us to know God because it's true, it's right. God is right. God doesn't change. God isn't going along with the flow of the world as it falls nearer and nearer to its decay and destruction. God stays the same. God's truth has been true and it will never change because it's true. The world stuff, it changes all the time because it's not true. We know where we come from. We know who we are. We know where our wisdom came from, and our thinking is different. Our thinking is different from the world, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We have all this that John's telling us, this understanding of who we are. We understand that we have a life beyond this world into the kingdom. We understand that as children of God, we need to live differently. We need to live differently for our relationship with God, for our relationship with each other. And we need to know that our Father loves us and cares for us and hears us when we pray. And when we see one of our brothers or sisters make a mistake or mess up, we pray for them to be restored. We pray for life to be restored in them. Doesn't say just forgiveness. I love that he said life. Pray that they would have life. And we know the world doesn't understand any of this. But we're children of God. And we're in Christ. And we know that everything we know came from him. It's God. It's God's wisdom. It's God's grace for us to know these things. So John lays it all out for us at the end of his epistle. Got one little sentence left, and I'm going to actually do that next week. Children, flee from idolatry. But let's be thankful that God has given us an unworldly wisdom, a spiritual understanding, a spiritual grace and a power, a spiritual life in Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to keep that in our mind all the time and know what we know. Amen? Amen.